Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Hey there, welcome back. Okay, lots to get to today. Lots to get to. There's always a lot to get to. I'm excited to be with you. Let me see, where do I want to start? Okay, let's do this. Let's start with your questions. How about that? I get a lot of questions. I love it. info@davidholland.com, and you can let me know if you have a question. You don't have to give me your full history, but you can at least include your first name and your hometown city so I can give you proper recognition. I don't get people's last name because I am concerned about privacy. So the first question I'd like to hit today is a great question. It comes from Bill in Palm Coast. Bill asks, I work full-time at a company where I have a pension account and contribute to the retirement account. I just turned 72. Should I be taking required minimum distributions from these retirement funds? Bill, excellent question. Best question so far today. That's the first question today, but it's just going to be the best one, I think. Okay, here we go. So here's the rule, and I know what Bill's concerned about. I'll steal my own thunder. The reason Bill is asking is because there's a 50% penalty on the amount you should have taken. So if you're supposed to have taken, say, $3,000 out of your account and you didn't take anything, then the IRS is going to ding you for a 50% tax on that $3,000 or $1,500. And just like in Smokey and the Bandit, when he kicks a guy, when he's leaning over the car, that is an attention getter. Okay, that's the IRS's intention, is to get your attention. All right, so here's the skinny. So that's the end of the story, and here's how you avoid that and make sure you're aware. Tax laws require that you take minimum distributions from your individual retirement accounts after you reach age 70 and a half. Now, the same rules apply to SEP IRAs, simple IRAs, 401ks, 403b plans, 457 plans, profit sharing plans, you know, pretty much any type of employer-based defined contribution plan, money purchase plan, these kinds of things. And basically, what the Internal Revenue Service is trying to do, and they're pretty good about this, is they're trying to get you to take enough out of your IRA each year so you'll deplete it during your lifetime. Well, why would they want to do that? Well, they want to tax it, right? I mean, that's the whole point. So to figure out your required minimum distribution dollar amount each year, what you do is you add up all of your IRAs. So if you got 10 IRAs or you got two IRAs, whatever, you add them all up at the beginning of the year, and then you take that total and you divide it by your life expectancy. Now, sorry to disappoint you, you don't get to pick your own number for that, okay? The IRS requires you to use the life expectancy for your age, and there's what's called the Uniform Lifetime Table. And if you do any type of search, it's all over the place on the internet. It's in the tax, you know, the tax code. It's all there. And there's something important I want to note. So we're going to talk about that uniform table, but that's for single people. There's also other tables for married couples where one is a lot younger than the other. And there's also a table for people that have inherited an IRA. If you're familiar with the term inherited IRA, beneficiary IRA, stretch IRA, that's all the same thing. That's when somebody dies and they've designated somebody to receive that IRA account. Now, you can have a spousal rollover where you leave that to your spouse. They can roll that IRA. That's called a spousal IRA. They can roll it over into their name. It becomes their IRA. But if you leave it to a child or to a non-spouse, a friend, I've seen clients do that, where they left an IRA to a good friend. That's okay, but it's considered an inherited IRA. And what happens is when you get it, you don't have to pay tax on all of it. You can then roll it over and then draw that money out over your lifetime. And there's a special table for that that the IRS has. It's pretty cool not to have to pay tax all on that at once. So let me go back to my discussion here about IRAs in general. So the life expectancy, the way the table works is, and I'll use Bill in his question. He said he just turned 72. So I'll use a life expectancy and I'll look at what a 72-year-old would be required to take out. The life expectancy with the uniform lifetime table is 25 and a half years for a 72-year-old. So if you have four IRAs, and let's say that the total of them, and I'm doing this for easy math, the total is $100,000 even, okay? Doesn't matter if three of them are 97 and then you got three for $1,000 apiece. You add them all up, and that $100,000 is your total IRA balance. And you do it as of the beginning of the year that you need to do the required distribution. Because obviously, if you've got your money invested, it may change in value during the year. So you use the beginning of the year value. And so with a 72-year-old, it's 25 and a half years. You take 100,000, you divide by the 25 and a half years, and then that gives you your required distribution. So in this example, that would be just over $3,900, $3,906.25 for my fellow CPAs out there. So now, that's how it works. Now, the next question you may have as you think about this is, well, what if I don't live that long? Well, then it just goes to whoever's going to inherit the money. And the other thing that happens is that every year that percentage increases. So we'll get to some examples of that in a minute. Now, here's something I do, and I know this is an extra step, and maybe it's just my being a type A personality, but this is the way I do it. Whenever I'm working with RMDs, I find it a little bit, I don't know, cumbersome, or just it doesn't work in my head the way I would like it to when I start dividing by the number of years life expectancy. I work a lot with percentages. So instead of using in this example the 25 and a half years you divide into your IRA balance, what I like to do is take one and divide by the number of years life expectancy to convert it into a percentage. And so if I take the required distribution, it would have to come out over a 25 and a half year period. If I do the math and translate that into a percentage, it's 3.9%. So that's a little easier for me to work with. I don't know. I like it that way. So the required distribution said the other way, instead of taking it out over 25 and a half years, it's just a 3.9% required distribution. So if you want to take it from each account pro rata, 3.9% would have to come out of each account, or you can just take it from $3,900 from which account. The IRS doesn't care where you take the money from as long as you satisfy the minimum distribution. So if you are, for example, pulling your required distribution from something that's more secure, maybe you've got cash money or you've got a fixed annuity or something like that, you're pulling your IRA required distributions out of that, and that's fine, and then you let the more aggressive IRA money grow and work and not be subject to taking the withdrawals. Now, let me hit a couple key points. I mentioned before the whole objective is to force these withdrawals out so that not taxed yet money can be taxed during your lifetime. Now, as I mentioned earlier, toward that end, what happens is the percentages you're required to take out, they actually go up every single year. So don't be surprised if one day you wake up, you have a long life, all of a sudden the IRS is making you take a lot out. Just to give you some perspective on how quickly this ratchets up, at age 70, it's about 3.65% you have to take out. At age 75, it's 4.38%. And then at 80, it's 5.35%. Now, it's not all of a sudden 50%, but it does go up. And so this is something that you keep in mind as it relates to how you invest the money. Okay? Now, back to Bill's original question, the answer is your employment status is not relevant. If you have IRA accounts, you need to take money out of them, your required distribution, once you turn 70 and a half. You must take RMDs from your IRAs by April 1st of the year following the year you turn 70 and a half. I know that sounds like double talk, so one more time. April 1st of the year following the year you turn 70 and a half, you have to take your required distribution. Now, if you work past 70 and a half, you can delay taking your required distributions from your current employer retirement plan. And that may be the other part of your question, Bill. So you can wait until April 1st following the calendar year that you retire. So if you work to 75, you don't have to take your required distributions from that retirement account at work. But your IRAs, you got to take the money out. All right. Now, and as I started the answer to this question, the reason why this is significant, and I'm glad I haven't seen much of this, if you don't take it out or you don't take out enough, then they'll hit you with a 50% tax penalty. Serious stuff. Let me grab one more question for you, and then I'm going to take a short break. Don from Volusia. I didn't get the city, so I know, but I think he's in Volusia. Don asked me, and this was in follow-up to one of my recent columns I wrote. He said, when did the annual gift exclusion change from $13,000 to $14,000? Did I miss it? And Don, I'm not going to say you missed it, but it did just change. The $14,000 annual gift exclusion amount was effective January 1st of 2013. So you haven't missed it by much. If your gift exceeds more than $14,000 for any one recipient, this is a per recipient gift number, don't forget to file that Form 709. Now, here's a quick history that maybe will help put some of this in perspective, because a lot of people say, well, when does it change? And I thought it was $10,000. And here's a quick history of annual gift exclusion amounts. And I went out and found it real quick on the internet. About.com had a nice little summary. For 1997 through 2001, the annual gift exclusion amount was that $10,000 number. From 2002 to 2005, it was $11,000. From 2006 to 2008, it was $12,000. Then it jumped up to $13,000 for 2009 through 2012. And it went to $14,000 for 2013. And it's likely that it will go up again because it is indexed for inflation. Now, not to alarm anybody, but if we did ever experience deflation, it goes the other way. We aren't used to that. In the last 50 years or so, we've only had 1 year, and I think it was 2008 or 2009. I think it was 2009. We had a smidgen of deflation where we had negative inflation, if you want to call it that, where actually the increase wasn't an increase. It was a decrease in the price of goods and services. It went down by about 1/3 of 1%. So that is that's the reality. And again, this $14,000 gift exclusion amount only comes into play if you give more than 14 to any one person, and spouses and charities are excluded from that. And if you have less than, as an individual, less than $5,250,000, it's not really a limit. Go back and look at my column if you missed that. You can do that on my website, davidholland.com. You go to the column section. And if you, again, if you have a question for me, info@davidholland.com. Quick break as promised. We'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. All right. So what will I talk about next? I've got several things, actually, I'd like to get to. So this was a fun question. This was a good one. Let's see. Al asked me, where's Al from? Al didn't say where he's from, but I know he's local. Al asked me, he sent me an email. He said, can you clear something up for me? I just moved from New York to Florida. I was wondering if I have to change my New York will to a Florida one. And if I go to a lawyer, I'm sure he will tell me I have to change it. I was hoping you could tell me if you can, I appreciate your time. And I've touched on this previously. I've talked about this. I'm not an attorney, but I just want to remind you that I work with a lot of attorneys. And you know what? I know that sometimes people have different opinions about attorneys and financial people. And in fact, I've got an article that I'm going to have to comment on that I printed out. I'm going to get to that in just a minute too. But yeah, I've got that right here. I've got to address something I read. But my point is, it's worth the time to meet with an attorney to make sure you're on the right track. And there are other things that you may not be thinking about that you really should be. All right, here it is. This was an article written. USA News had a column written by a Tom Sightings. This was from September 3rd. And it's 7 realistic strategies for retirement. And I think the column or article was well-intended. He talks about the different things you can do, which I think a lot of them are smart. But the first thing he does, which is totally unnecessary, so I'm going to respond to it. He says, don't let financial experts scare you. It's in their interest to persuade you to save more money than you really need and hand over your nest egg for them to handle. Then they can skim off 1% or 2% as profit every year. Mr. Sightings, I beg your pardon, sir. That's not what we're all about. We're trying to help. Yes, we need to be paid for what we do. You know, this is why journalists probably should not try to comment on maybe things that they don't really know anything about. That's not the point. We have to be compensated. And there are different ways that advisors do that. And it's all disclosed. We're not telling people to accumulate more money just so we can get more of their money. I mean, come on. Yeah, of course we want our clients' accounts to grow. Now, he does recover, and he goes on to have some intelligent things to say about some strategies for retirement. He says, assess where you stand, count up your assets, kind of take stock of where you are. Okay, that's good. You always want to reevaluate. Downsize your house. Okay, well, yeah, once the kids are out, maybe you don't need to have as large of a home. Don't subsidize your kids' lifestyle. I agree with that. I've said very often to put a limit on what you share with your family. And be careful that it doesn't imperil your own financial situation. Go international. There's a lot of discussion out there about retiring overseas, you know, where it's cheaper. I've heard mixed stories about that. It can be a good thing. I'm a little bit nervous, just to be honest with you. You know, for all of our problems, relatively speaking, the United States is a pretty safe place compared to some of the other places. So take that advice for what it's worth and be careful about the whole international retire on the cheap thing. Because you know what? The grass very often is not greener. You may save a few bucks, but you might be putting yourself at risk. He goes on to mention search out free entertainment, take advantage of senior citizen discounts. Okay, not bad. But let's not take swipes at financial folks that are trying to do a good job for people, okay? Okay, I got that off my chest. I just hate seeing that kind of stuff. Come on. All right. Okay, enough about that, Lisa says. All right, I'm moving on, Lisa. Lisa gave me the eyebrow. All right. Okay, speaking of women, women need advisors' guidance before divorce strikes. I couldn't agree more. Financial Advisor Magazine had a very nice article that I noticed, and this, again, a magazine that's for financial folks like me, skimming that 1% or 2% profit off of my clients' accounts. Come on. Okay, but anyway, the article talks about, and I am going to echo this, and I think it's very important. It talks about the importance of women to be very involved with their finances before divorce happens. So you say, oh, we're getting divorced. How much money do we have? You really need to be involved all along the way. That's smart just in case of a divorce. It's smart in case you become widowed. It's smart in case you start getting weird phone calls wanting to know why bills aren't paid. It's smart because you have a good chance of outliving your spouse. It's smart for a lot of reasons. And so I agree with that journalist. Smart, smart, smart. Another thing that was interesting, there was another column or article written, again, in Financial Advisor Magazine. And this is something that just, it kind of struck me, is something that we need to be vigilant about protecting our identity, be protecting and being very careful on the computer. It seems like at least once a week, I take an email to Lisa, who runs our board here on the radio, but also takes care of our technology. I'll say, hey, Lisa, I've got another one of these emails I'm not sure about. Is this a scam? And I think every single time she has said, yes, it is. So be careful. And there was a interview recently with the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Peter Pace. And he was quoted as saying that the thing that keeps him up at night sometimes is cyber warfare. And so this is coming. And I say this to you, you know, we look at Syria, we look at some of the traditional or conventional warfare and conflict. But it used to be that there were 1,000 new viruses launched every year, and that's a lot. But nowadays, it's something like 10,000 new viruses a week. So please be careful. You know, unless you are convinced something is really real, just be careful. And the other side of it that I think it warrants comment is that at some point, these terrorists or cyber warriors, if you want to put it more nicely, they may get to the point that, you know, there's been some hits on the market they've done a few times, some glitches, you know, a 900-point swing in the market, or they hacked into some Twitter accounts and something about the president being injured. So don't panic on any of these kinds of news items. And also, at some point, there may come a day when they can shut down our market completely. So don't have all your money in the market. Have some money that's safe. I love diversifying cash money, money in things that are more secure, some money that's safe. And I think that's smart. All right, here's another thing I thought was interesting. The new modern family, Allianz, which is one of the larger insurance companies in the United States, they did a study called the 2013 Women, Money, and Power Study. I thought it was interesting. 67% of women in today's modern family, including single moms, divorced, widowed, same-sex couples, said their family situation creates a whole nother level of need to be financially aware and independent. Yes, that's correct. 59% believe that their unique family structure has made them need to be more active and involved with financial planning. I'm glad. That's very important. And married women are now in the minority group in terms of their current relationship status at only 39%. And only 38% of women in the survey noted that they worked with a financial professional. Widows were the highest percentage, which would make sense because they're, you know, they're on their own. They're at 51%. So here's another interesting thing the study found. And this goes back to my previous comment about divorce. 48% of divorced respondents to this survey said that the divorce plunged them into financial crisis. 50% of the widows said the same. And 84% said that becoming a widow made them realize how important it was to always be financially aware and independent. And going back to that comment, that other article about divorce, one of the things that I would also add is that if you do get married and you have separate assets and you start commingling, it's not a bad thing to maybe keep some assets separate. The Italians have a saying that my wife heard when she got married, which is don't let the men's know your business. And well, there you have it. I think I do know all the business, but maybe not. That's good advice from an Italian grandmother and good advice from a financial planner. All right, that's all the time we have for today. I will welcome you back for a future show.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Want to learn more about real money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.